Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We're having a good time this morning. Great conversation, first couple hours of the show. And now here we are with the idea that it's not just Abrigo Garcia. The left has cozied up. The left has cozied up to really just not just bad people, but a really bad ideology. These are folks that have. There are stories here. It's hard to. I want to say things that I'm not supposed to say. And that's the problem that I'm having here. There are examples of this violence that the left has encouraged and cozied up to that you wouldn't believe. If you're not on the X platform, you're missing out on a lot of what I'm talking about here. There was a post that went up yesterday, came across my feed from an account at Captain Gouda 24, Nicholas Decker. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second. All right. I want you to think about this for just a second. Think about Jake Tapper. Think about the fake news. Think about the all of the times that Donald Trump was called Adolf Hitler. Think about all the times that Trump supporters were labeled Nazis. Think about all of the negative things that you'd heard about January 6th protesters and grandma praying at the Capitol. Just think about all those things. How many times that was forced into, you know, the court of public opinion? How many times people had to hear that MAGA supporters were Nazis, that Donald Trump was Hitler, that, you know, it's just over and over and over and over and over again. People are conditioned to hear these things to the point where, you know, the gaslighting is so strong that folks eventually believed it. This is a post on X. Looks like a blog post or a Substack post, a screenshot of it. Nicholas Decker, the ultimate source of political power is and will always be violence. This is somebody, by the way, with the rainbow flag emoji and the Ukraine flag emoji in his bio. And on his X bio, it says the following: GMU econ, PhD student, liberal. I post interesting papers. He says he's liberal. OK, so I'm not making an assumption that this is somebody on the left. The ultimate source of political power is and always will be violence. If the present administration, when did he post this? Oh, yesterday, 2025, present administration, Trump administration. If the present administration should continue on its course, there is no choice but war. I say this out of sorrow. When must we kill them? Again, self-described liberal. The paper that he wrote here is titled, When Must We Kill Them? Evil has come to America. The present administration is engaged in barbarism. It has arbitrarily imprisoned its opponents. What? Revoked the visas of thousands of students. Yes, who were violating the terms of their visas. Imposed taxes upon us without our consent. Really? And seeks to destroy the institutions which oppose it. Its leader has threatened those who produce unfavorable coverage and suggested that their licenses be revoked. It has deprived us, in many cases, of trial by jury. It has subjected us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution. When must we kill them is what he's asking. Kill. Not rhetorical. It's an outward, open call to violence. Nicholas Decker on X. Now, the left will go, wow, he's not some, you know, he's nobody. Don't worry about it. Okay. All right. Okay. So you mean to tell me that if this Nicholas Decker was somebody who wore a MAGA hat, that the left wouldn't be absolutely apoplectic over something like this being posted on social media? You mean to tell me that just because nobody's heard of him before and he's an account with 7,600 followers, only 76, that, oh, don't worry about it. He is advocating for the present administration to be gone to war with, to be killed. Folks, dangerous times. It's not just that. This idea that the left has to be violent in order to achieve their goals and achieve their means, this is not new. Yesterday on my show on LFA TV, it was a pre-recorded episode because I was out of town coming back home from West Virginia. And it was about how the left has essentially let TDS just dictate their every move. Whatever Trump does, we stand against it. We stand against it passionately. We stand against it, you know, consistently, whatever he does. Now, we know what happened on July 13th, 2024, Thomas Matthew Crooks. We know what happened on, I believe it was September 17th, 2024, Ryan Wesley Ruth. Crooks actually got shots off. Ryan Wesley Ruth almost did. But because the left refuses to get its violent faction under control, it has only continued. The Tesla terrorism, something that both my wife and I have been directly targeted by, swatting, which has happened to over 20 people. Conservatives across the country, swatting. You know, they call in a fake emergency to my address. They send cops with massive guns, training them at my house. We walk out of the house with our hands up, hoping and praying that nobody's jumpy. And thankfully, the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office was, exceptional. This is because why? Because they don't like what I say on the internet? Never in a million years would I even think to do that to somebody. And there are people on the internet I look at and I'm like, man, I can't stand that person. But the best way to beat them is to beat them in the court of public opinion. The best way to do it is to counter their bad speech with better speech. That's a censor. Would have put them at gunpoint. People in this neighborhood, the kids in this neighborhood, one of the kids in this neighborhood told us that while that was going on, and they weren't going to his house, but there were cops all around all down the road, walking up and down the road with guns. He was hiding under his desk crying. That's what you did. That's what you did. You hear about this story out of Wisconsin? A Wisconsin teen. You know, no big deal. Just felt it necessary to want to assassinate Donald Trump. You know what he did to, quote unquote, gain the financial means and the autonomy to do it? He killed his parents. Plotted to assassinate Donald Trump. Oh, and according to new FBI documents, Nikita Kaysap, the kid who was planning to assassinate Donald Trump after killing his parents, because he killed his parents, wanted to use that as a way to gain autonomy and financial means to assassinate Trump, was apparently sending direct messages to an individual with a Ukrainian phone number, talking about relocating to Ukraine after killing Donald Trump. This is the second now would-be assassin of Donald Trump that had connections to Ukraine. Can we finally start asking why on earth Ukraine is always involved in these threats against the president? We know that Crooks was talking to foreign people too. We don't know what nations they were from. We know Ruth was connected to Ukraine. Now we know that KSAP was connected to Ukraine. We know that Ukraine tried to sabotage Donald Trump's 2016 run. We know that Ukraine tried to sabotage Donald Trump's first administration with the perfect phone call, which Zelensky did nothing, nothing, nothing to clear up, still has done nothing to clear up. Can we ask any questions as to why the left continues to let this violence fester on their side of the aisle? I remember on January 7th, members of our side calling out some of the bad actions that took place on January 6th. I was one of those people. I was at January 6th. I did nothing wrong. I got my name on a police report because my vehicle was vandalized along with eight of my friends who had their vehicles vandalized. We weren't even at the Capitol when things started getting messy. And I did an interview with a local NBC News affiliate up on Long Island in the parking lot of a Costco. And they were, political violence. You were there. And I said, I condemn political violence. Anybody who engages in political violence, I condemn. You know why? Because it happened to me. And it's only continued to happen to me since then. Death threats, violent DMs, swatting, harassment with random pizza deliveries. You may think it's a big deal until they start sending it to members of your family. You may think it's no big deal. It's just pizza. What are you complaining about? Yeah, you want this to happen to you? You don't. I condemn political violence. I don't want to live in that world. I was vocal right up until we got pardons for J6. I said, anybody who assaulted a police officer, we can't give them a pardon right off the bat. What do you mean? They were provoked. You don't know that. You weren't there. I was there. I saw people do things you shouldn't do. I do believe in consequences. And yes, there were people who were provoked into doing stupid things on January 6th. But there were also people who showed up to January 6th who were not members of Antifa, who were not members of Black Lives Matter, who were good people who did bad things. Now, I'm not upset that everybody got pardoned. That's the cost of doing business. Many wrongs were righted. Some people got a pardon that they didn't deserve. That's the cost of doing business. And I'm happy to see that the ones who deserved their pardon got out. My point is, I despise political violence. The left only despises political violence when it happens against other members of the left. Why don't you hear the name Cody Ballmer anymore? You know why? Because he's a freaking leftist. He's a registered socialist and a pro-Palestine lunatic. Tried to kill Governor Josh Shapiro. This Wisconsin teen talking to Ukrainian people, saying they were going to blame Russia on the attack on Donald Trump. The left has continued. The left has continued to let political violence fester on their side of the aisle. Another story out of Butler, Pennsylvania. A Butler, PA man arrested, making threats to assassinate Donald Trump. Sean Monper, taken into custody by the FBI. He had a hearing on April 14th. On April 8th, FBI's National Threat Operations Section received an emergency disclosure regarding threats made by a YouTube user called Mr. Satan. He obtained a firearms permit after Trump's inauguration and wrote using his account, "I have bought several guns and been stocking up on ammo since Trump got into office. Eventually, I'm going to do a mass shooting." And 1 week later, he allegedly wrote, "I have been buying one gun a month since the election." Other threats outlined saying he was going to kill Trump and Elon himself. American Revolution 2.0. That's the left, and that's who they're making their new heroes. They love violence. I can't stand it. Anyone who wants to tell me this, Nicholas, I remember when Madonna said, "I want to blow up the White House." And I said, whoa, you can't say that. Oh, who cares? It's just Madonna. I care because when you set the precedent that there are no consequences for saying things like that. You set the precedent that political violence is acceptable. Nicholas Decker on X. When must we kill them? Still up, by the way. The post is still up. These are the people the left, these are the people the left is producing. Teens that are killing their parents to try and assassinate Trump. Satanic cultists on YouTube who want to assassinate Trump. People posting on X and writing blogs about how it's totally necessary and justified to kill their political opponents because of a difference of opinion on policy. That ain't the country I want to live in. It's time to give this Decker guy a visit. If you're the FBI, I'm sure they'll be all over it. It's time to, well, we got the Wisconsin teen's been arrested. The Butler, Pennsylvania man's been arrested. And they need to have the book thrown at them. The book. We'll do more political violence in the next segment. We got to take a quick break. Talk about Carmelo Anthony, Luigi Mangione, and the left's obsession with violence. Sean Farish filling in here on Kellen Company, 1210 WPHD, fourth and final hour. We'll hand it off to Kathy Barnett soon. We'll take a quick break and be right back after this.
This hour of Cowan Company is brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $250 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. And 614 plus save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples.
It's Kalen Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Forrest, what's on your mind?
Hi, Sean. Yeah, I wanted to talk about this this Kilmar Garcia guy in Maryland. Look, everyone knows he's a gang member. He was wearing a Chicago Bulls hat. We all know if you wear a Chicago Bulls hat, you're in a gang. And even if he's not in a gang, who cares? Just get rid of all these people. If we deport some innocent people and throw them in an El Salvador.
Oh, here we go. Jail, here we go. All right. Okay. All right. Boris, let me ask you a question. Boris, let me ask you a question. You want to come in here and troll? Okay.
As long as you'll
know if he's wearing. No. Boris, shut up and listen. Okay. You want to call and make an ass of yourself, you can listen now. And I'm going to ask you a question, and we'll have a conversation, since this is what you want to do with your Friday, okay? He wasn't just wearing a Chicago Bulls hat. That's not why they thought he was a gang member. There were two courts and a police gang unit that determined he was a gang member because other members of the gang said that he was a gang member. Did you know that, Boris?
Did you know that, Boris?
Yes or no, Boris?
We see how meticulous and detail-oriented Donnie is, I know.
Boris, sure yes or no, Boris? It's a very simple question. It's a three-word answer or a two-word letter answer. Yes or no, did you know that they all confirmed he was in a gang from other members of the gang? Did you know that? I don't think so, because you sound like a dope right now coming on here, uninformed, talking about the Chicago Bulls. How about you want this guy, this guy to come back into the country? Boris, shut your mouth and listen to me. You called into this show. You're now going to get talked to. Boris. Yeah, you wish you looked as good as me. You dope. Listen to me. Listen to me. All right?
Do you make more than $20?
I know exactly who we're talking to right now. I'm talking to a troll who made 40,000 Rumble names. Listen to me. You have no idea. No idea what you're talking about with this Abrego Garcia. None whatsoever. You are a fool. You are a life loser. You are an absolute loser who supported Chris Christie in the 2024 election like a loser. You spend all day long calling people's radio shows, making a fool of yourself with absolutely no information. None whatsoever. You are a life loser.
Sean,
your hot pocket is ready. Mom's got it ready to go. Why don't you walk upstairs out of mom's basement, get your hot pocket, and as Mark Levin says, get off my phone, you idiot. What a loser.
And he's gone.
What an absolute loser. I know who this guy is. This guy makes a habit of calling people's shows. He does this to everybody.
I had a feeling. And I'm honored that he's. I had this feeling when I was screening him that something was
just
not
right. And I'm honored that he did this. He does this with me because he does this to really big radio guys like Will Cow, Mark Levin.
Really? How did they get through?
He calls him with a fake name because he doesn't want to give his real name. Yeah, but he doesn't want people showing up to his mom's house.
Aren't these lines normally busy and there's a bunch of callers on hold? And how do guys like this manage
because
to get
through? Because he has time. This guy has so much time on his hands. This guy has made, I want to tell you, like probably 70 or 80 different Rumble names,
right,
to troll conservative people's shows, right? He has like these names on standby, this guy, and he claims he has a full-time job. There's no way you balance full-time work with that.
So either he's
paid to do that, or he lives in his mother's house and has absolutely no life.
So you're trying
one
to,
or the other.
So you're trying to say right now that this guy is dialing a phone with Cheeto dust on his fingers, probably sitting there drinking a Yoo-Hoo or a Hawaiian punch, and just sitting there just wondering if Gilligan gets off the island. I hate to tell but he does it. Or watching infomercials, or as we were talking about earlier, Jerry Springer on trash TV.
That's right. That's right. He also, don't forget the Lubriderm, Jim.
Oh, no, sorry.
He's got a very large, he's one of Lubriderm's most loyal customers. No, that guy's a fool. But I'm happy we were able to, because he came in, he called unprepared. Oh, it's a Chicago Bulls hat. Three different people, two courts and a police officer gang unit determined that guy was a part of a gang. So he wants to talk about deporting innocent people. Absolutely not. The guy wasn't innocent. He was illegal and in this country illegally. Oh, I've been waiting to give that guy a piece of my mind for quite some time. And he claimed to support Chris Christie in the 2024 election, which just, I mean, there's no bigger sign that you're a loser than that.
So he's sitting in his basement saying this.
Absolutely right. Yes. And he actually, he hates fat jokes, by the way. When I call him fat and say that he's, I don't know what he looks like. I probably don't want to know.
Hey, you're fat, but girl. Come here, are you ticklish?
He got very offended by that, by when I said, no, he's a loser. But I'm happy he called in because I've been waiting. You know, it's been a couple of years since I last talked to him. And I've been waiting for him to slip through and find a way through to give him a piece of my mind and to humiliate him. And now he's at home. And I'm sure his mother heard that and said, Boris, or whatever his real name is, why do you keep making a fool of yourself in public? I thought I raised you better. And he just snatched a Hot Pocket and went back downstairs. That's how that went. The left, though, I will tell you this. The left, people like him, whether he wants to be on the right, he says he's on the right or the left, whatever. He claims to be never Trumper, whatever he is. They're the ones doing what he does. They're the ones cozying up to violence and making heroes out of violent people. Why don't we go to this cut from Carmelo Anthony's attorney at this press conference? This is cut 9A, where they asked the father of Austin Metcalf, who, by the way, was very forgiving after this whole thing. I mean, there were a lot of people who criticized him, say, why would you be so civil? I don't know where this, what his thought process was. Maybe he just didn't want it to turn into a spectacle. But Carmelo Anthony's attorney, and they asked Jeff Metcalf, Austin Metcalf's father, to leave the press conference because he was being disrespectful. Listen to this, cut 9A.
And all I'm going to say, so it don't be asked later, is that was disrespectful and just shows you all the character. He was not invited. He knows that it's inappropriate to be near this family. But he did it. And so I say to people, actions speak louder than words. Okay? What he has failed into is the political operatives that want to make this thing a political thing of hate, yet bigotry, and yet racism. We have conservative operatives that have been posting nonstop about this case.
disrespectful for Jeff Metcalf to be at a press conference. Can we get an answer as to whether or not it was disrespectful for Carmelo Anthony to kill his son? How on earth do these people have the gall to play the victim? You know, I saw people talking about the fundraiser and the $900,000 house that they're renting and the new Escalade that they bought. And, you know, it's who says crime doesn't pay, right? Who says crime doesn't pay? They are equating what Carmelo Anthony did to Austin Metcalf to what Kyle Rittenhouse did in his legitimate self-defense case. They're off their rocker, these leftists. Whether it was Taylor Lorenz and Sean Hannity, you know, the other night, which was just, you know, I get why Hannity had her on. I wouldn't be able to do it without dropping profanities. She is so insufferable. She is a member of the left who could not even just say something like, yeah, I don't think violence is the answer. All Hannity was saying was, you know, do you agree that you are without a soul, a conscience, or a heart if you can't condemn violence? And she's like, well, I'm not religious. I don't believe in souls. What a stupid cop-out that was. What a stupid cop-out that was. Listen, as I said before, I don't condone any violence. I would never in my life call in a fake SWAT call, which, by the way, I'm going to have the 911 call soon so I can actually hear what these people said and, you know, how they sold it. I would never in my life look at a company that upset me, right, whether it's a health insurance company or anything, and say, you know what the solution to my problem is? The solution to my problem is killing the CEO. I never in my life, I didn't like Barack Obama. I didn't like George W. Bush. I certainly did not like Joe Biden. Never in my life did I want those men dead. Never in my life would I ever entertain the idea that Nicholas Decker, the guy who we just talked about in the previous segment, would I ever ask the question, when is it time to kill these people? But that's because I'm not a leftist. That's because folks like me and you and everybody who's listening right now, maybe not everybody, because we know that the basement dwellers probably still got it on. Right? That's because we understand that we don't want to live in a country where the words that you say on the internet, the political candidate that you support, can result in somebody wanting to kill you. But here's the left glorifying violence, making victims out of murderers, making victims out of gang members, making heroes out of people like Luigi Mangione, a coward who shot a father in the back. I'm not saying the healthcare industry is perfect. It's not. And I don't know everything about Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare. I don't know. I he could be a good guy, could be a bad guy. The answer is not to kill people over disagreements in any situation. Self-defense is a different situation. It's a different story. That was not self-defense. And you have leftists like Taylor Lorenz. You have leftists like these folks on the mainstream media that refuse. They refuse to call out the violence on their side. I have no problem calling out violence on our side. When I led protests, I made sure that the people that we brought to those protests behaved themselves to the best of my ability. And if they didn't, that's their problem. We made sure no violence. And as a result of that, our protests. You can ask the Nassau County Police Department. You can ask the Suffolk County Police Department. You can ask elected officials up and down Long Island. Not one instance of criminal activity arose from our protests on our side. Not one. We're not violent people. We do just want to be left alone. The problem is the other side doesn't want to leave us alone. They want us dead, and it's they won't call it out. So stay frosty, everybody. Stay frosty. All right. We'll be back with the final segment of the fourth and final hour coming up here on 1210 WPHT as we hand it off to Kathy Barnett. We'll have This Day in Music History with the esteemed musical scholar, Phil Almquist, in the final segment of the 4 o'clock. The final segment of the fourth and final hour. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out all day here on this Good Friday. We'll be right back with the final segment of the fourth and final hour after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
It must be difficult to get that endorsement. Phil's got that endorsement. He's kicking ass and taking names. Look, I just want to touch on this briefly. Kathy Barnett coming up at 10 o'clock, filling in for Dawn Stenslin. I want to get to this one briefly just because it's something I've been talking about for a little while. You know, not to toot my own horn here, not to toot my own horn. However, it's quite interesting. March 12th, I posted something. I said it was evergreen yesterday, bringing it back to life about the new state of the Democrat Party. And it was that senators from Michigan, Minnesota and New Hampshire, Democrat senators from Michigan, Minnesota, and New Hampshire have all announced that they will not be seeking reelection in 2026, which means the new leadership at the DNC and Democrat Party voters, which we know has flown way to the left, new leadership at the DNC is going to have to vet their replacements. Who is new leadership at the DNC? David Hogg and Company. 2026 is an opportunity for us to end the Democrat Party as we know it. I don't think that David Hogg and the folks over there at the DNC right now who are pledging to primary establishment figures, I don't think they're going to find better figures. They may find people who are further left. But you have, you know, the raging Cajun Jim Carville, who's, you know, not our friend, saying that this is a mistake. Folks, the Democrats are on the wrong side of the 80-20 issues. Men in women's sports, the majority of the country is not behind that. Even the majority of populations in blue states like Maine are not behind that. Open borders, the majority of Americans are not behind that. High taxes, government waste, fraud, and abuse, political violence. The majority of Americans are not behind that. But the majority of these progressive candidates, the anti-Israel sentiment, and it's not just about anti-Israel, and I'll clear this up because some people take it the wrong way. I am America first. I want to take care of our country first. I would rather take care of every single citizen in my borders than worry about anybody else anywhere around the world. It's not really anti-Israel. It's literally anti-Jew. You see a lot of these people who take the anti-Israel stance, but then throw the term Jew around like it's an insult. So it's not just about Israel, but it's that pro-Palestine even worse. The pro-Hamas thing even worse. You go to Gaza, you tell me how they treat you over there in the Gaza Strip. They're not gonna like you. Whether you're pro-Jew, anti, if you're not a Muslim out there, radical Muslim, they're not going to like you. They waste no time. They'll waste no time taking out their anger on you. It is that wing of the Democrat Party, the big government wing of the Democrat Party, open borders, high taxes, violence, pro 90,000 genders, the wrong side of every 80-20 issue that is out there. Those are the people in charge of the Democrat Party right now. and they are going to primary. I mean, they've got millions of dollars. David Hogg is getting ready to drop $20 million on candidates across the country. The vice chair of the DNC is getting ready to spend $20 million to kick establishment Democrats out of Congress. It's nuts. It's nuts. But you know what? It's a gift. It's a gift for Republicans. It's a gift for our movement. And in an ordinary circumstance, I would be 100% sold already that Republicans were going to blow it going into the midterms, you know, historical trends, et cetera. But if these people are going to be the ones, you know, finding the new candidates, finding the replacement, I'll tell you what. Let them do it. Never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake, is what they say. And giving David Hogg the keys to that car, big mistake. My suggestion, let him drive. Let him drive. All right. We got This Day in Music History coming up with the great Phil Almquist, who has been killing it with the music.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history.
April 18th, we celebrate the birthdays of Greg Eklund from Everclear, who's 55, Mark Tremonti from Creed, Alter Bridge, and Tremonti, who's 51, and Kelly Hansen of Hurricane and Foreigner, who's 64. We also lost Dickie Betts from the Allman Brothers on this day in 2024. Six Coon Main Street by Bob Seger in 77, Jammin' Me by Tom Petty in 87, Fool for Your Lovin' by Whitesnake in 80, and Carpet Crawlers by Genesis in 75. Albuquerque Heaven and Hell by Black Sabbath in 80. Bag of Bones by Europe in 2012, and Fandango by ZZ Top in 75. Also in 92, Annie Lennox was number one on the UK album chart. In 73, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's documentary Journey Through the Past debuted at the Dallas Film Festival. In 2013, Public Enemy got inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame and should be thrown out because they're not rock. And in 97, Gavin Rossdale of Bush was shirtless on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, but the article trashed the band, calling them Nirvana wannabes. But lastly, and most importantly, on this day in 87, Headbangers Ball premiered on MTV. Today in Music History is sponsored by First Bank. Ready to drive your business success with a trusted local partner? Count on First Bank for personalized support and smart solutions to help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, or Kale & Company. I'm Phil Long.
Thank you, Phil. And you got your This Week in Music History show coming up tomorrow night.
At 11 p.m. Yep. I rock the night, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
And that show has been doing incredibly well. It has the endorsement of the president of the United States.
It does. I don't know how I pulled that one off, but I did.
I don't know. Well, you know what? He has good taste, is what they say.
That's true.
That's what they say.
That is true.
He's got good taste. He's got better taste in radio talent than we do in football teams. I can tell you
that's
that.
That's for sure. That is for sure.
The great Phil Almquist giving us Everclear, Temple of the Dog this morning. I mean, he's killing it. Absolutely.
You may
just
hear some Temple of the Dog tomorrow night. You just may.
You know, I heard that rumor from a little birdie. I heard that rumor. So I'm hoping that rumor is, of course, true. And I think it will be. Very good. Thank you, Phil. Kathy Barnett is on deck, getting ready to hand it off to Kathy, who is filling in for the great Dawn Stensland. And I think I hear Kathy in my
ear.
Yes,
you do. Hello, my friend. You've been killing it.
Yeah, well, we've been trying. Thank you. I don't know if you heard the recent exchange where it's got to let loose on somebody.
Oh, I loved it. I was thinking to myself, how did you know? Like, I'm so still like kind of like a deer in headlights. Like, I would take him at his, you know, as a good faith individual. But you knew right away. You knew right away.
Yeah, I have a history with that guy, and I've heard him call in. And this is my thing. I was telling Jim, I was like, you know, he calls into these really big radio, like Levin, Hannity, Andrew Wilkow. And I'm sitting there going, I'm like, well, he's calling me. I must really be, you know, I must be doing something right over here.
Absolutely. Taking us the compliment. But oh my goodness, you are reading my notes on what I intend to talk about in the next 2 hours. And I'm going to start off with tariffs, but then I'm going to go right into what you've been talking about. There is something broken in our country, and we cannot, we can no longer pretend this isn't happening.
No, you're right. We had some really interesting conversation in the first couple hours of the show, a bunch of callers who were bringing up, you know, whether it's the mental health issue or parenting or content that we're consuming on TV or stuff that we're eating that is just contributing to a very bad mental health crisis in this country, driving people to the point of insanity, right? Driving people to the point of believing violence is the answer. And it's not, you know, it's not, I know it's not. And, we gotta right this ship. We gotta get it back on the right track.
Absolutely. And I think the real insidious part of this, as I kind of stand and watch our culture, is that to what you said, driving, the American people to this sense of instability, I don't think it's by mistake. I think a lot of what we're watching, this destabilization and demoralization of our nation, is intentional.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. The old KGB whistleblower Yuri Bezmenov actually mentioned that this was the goal. You pump this information into the heads of the kids through the schools, through the content that they create. You obviously can split up the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. You got both parents working. It's impossible for families to get by. To the point where now parents are relying on schools and their iPads to do their parenting for them. And it's resulting in devastating consequences for society. You've seen degeneracy being promoted instead of being denounced. And look at where it's led us. It's led us to this point, and it's not a good place to be.
You're hovering over the spot that I think we really need to focus on. I'm all about politics. I know you're all about politics. I've been a firm believer that if you change the way you vote, you're going to change the way you live. But Donald Trump can't do it all. It has to start with us as well.
That's right. We got to help him along. We have to be the change that we want to be. It's cliche. And it's also cliche to say politics is downstream from culture, but it is.
But it
and
is.
The culture needs rescuing. And I believe once we rescue the culture, we will we'll rescue the political system as well. But we got to be all hands on deck 24/7 if we want to make it happen.
But thank you, my friend. You did such an awesome job holding it down.
Well, thank you, Kathy. And you have a great show. Next 2 hours, everybody stick around. Listen to Kathy Barnett, the great Kathy. I should have endorsed her. You know that? I should have done it. The great Kathy Barnett. Love listening to you. Love everything you have to say. And it's always good knowing we're on the same page like usual. So it's great. Thank you.
Blessings.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.